Welcome to the May 27th sermon from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Level Road in Amherst. Today's scripture is Galatians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, and the sermon is entitled, The Invitation for All, delivered today by Pastor Michael Fitzgerald.
Open your Bible with me to Galatians chapter 2. We are in the midst of a study of Paul's letter to the churches of Galatia. This is a very unusual letter in your New Testament, because Paul is fiercely confronting an issue that is so alive that it could very easily kill the church in the province of Galatia. False teachers had come into the churches of Galatia and were leading the church members who were brand new baby Christians, leading them astray in false doctrine, false teaching. And Paul is instructing the church body as to how to get back on track in the truth of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul is so concerned for the churches of Galatia, and they had been led astray. This particular letter of your New Testament does not have any small talk in it. Most of Paul's letters have somewhat of an extended greeting and welcome to the church members he's writing to, but there's no extended personal greeting here from Paul in Galatians. He does open with grace and peace to my brothers and my sisters, but immediately after that he gets right down to business because he is so concerned about, so worried about the churches of Galatia. This is the one letter of Paul in the New Testament where he does not give the church one single word of commendation. So this is a very unusual letter. Now, we have studied through chapter 1 as Paul opens the letter. He gives his personal testimony, his personal calling to serve Jesus Christ as his Lord and his Savior. He gives his testimony, how Jesus led him to preach and teach the gospel in absolute truth. Now, today we're going to begin studying chapter 2 of Galatians, and I can tell you this as I read this scripture. Pastor Jeffrey has already started this ball rolling. However, as I begin this scripture, I can tell you it's boring. I can tell you that it's hard to get through. So today, as you listen to this scripture, I'm sure that you may not have read this very closely before. My guess is most of you have never heard a sermon on this particular passage. In fact, after 36 years of preaching here, I can tell you I've never preached on this passage before. It's a tough passage, and I've prayed my way through it, asking for God's blessing and leading in this passage. And you might say, you know, Pastor Mike, after you read this scripture, it really didn't grab me today. So I hope you can keep me awake in the remainder of your sermon, and I'm going to do my best, but I want you to listen to this. This passage is extremely important to you and to me as non-Jewish people, as Gentiles. You and I are Gentiles. Maybe there's someone here who has Jewish blood in you, but most of us are Gentiles, non-Jews. This passage is extremely important to us. Indeed, this is a history lesson, but it sets the course and the truth that the grace of Jesus Christ needs to be preached not just in the United States of America, but around the entire world. Praise God for people like Diamanta Bryant who are giving their lives in service in another country in the world, and we will recognize Diamanta today. But we're going to read this very, very important passage of Scripture. Listen to these words, Galatians chapter 2, looking at verses 1 through 10. Hear these words. Listen closely to them, and we will study them today. Now, this is Paul's testimony. He's continuing on, saying, "Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seem to be of somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me, God accepteth no man's person, for they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mightily in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. May God add His blessing to this precious portion of His mighty Word. This is God's Word. Amen. It is meant for the aged. It is meant for believers. This Word will not pass away. And so today, we open our minds and our hearts to hear how this Word speaks to us. What does it mean? Now, as we begin this, let me get us all in the same time frame where we are at this point. You remember that Paul was, at one time, a man who hated Jesus, a man who hated the church, a man who wanted to kill and imprison believers. His name was Saul in those days. He was the golden boy of the Jews. And as a young Jew, he believed that his job from God was to kill the church of Jesus Christ. But on the road to Damascus, when he was traveling to Damascus to find more men and women to throw into jail and to bring into persecution, he was confronted by Jesus. He was blinded by scales on his eyes, and he was led to the city of Damascus, and there he would reside, and there he would be blind for 3 days. And God sent a man to Saul. His name was Ananias. And Ananias laid his hands on Saul and confirmed that Jesus Christ had personally come to Saul, and the scales fell off of Saul's eyes, and he received Jesus Christ as his Lord and his Savior. And it was not long thereafter that his name was no longer Saul, but it would become Paul. And that, of course, is the name by which we know this man. God had given Paul, as a new believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, a purpose, a reason for living. That's true for every one of us. That is not limited to Paul himself. Every one of us, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, has a purpose for our life, given to us by God. Amen? Every single one of us has some way that we are to be a minister for the Lord Jesus Christ with the talents that He's given us. With Paul, Paul was born a Jew, and God had called him through Jesus Christ to leave that family of the Jewish faith. They would always be his family, but he was not going to reside with them. He was not going to live with them, but rather Jesus said, because you are now saved, I'm taking you, a saved Jew, and I'm sending you out to the entire Roman Empire, and I don't want you to speak so much to the Jewish audience. I have ministers for them as well, but I want you to speak to the Gentile audience. I want you to speak to people who have never even heard the name of Jesus. I want you to go to the remote areas of the world and to the remote areas of the Roman Empire, and I want you to preach Jesus there. So Paul became a pioneer missionary just about everywhere that he went. So he left his Jewish roots, he went to the Roman Empire, and he was a minister and a preacher and a teacher to the Gentiles. And when a group of Gentiles were saved in a particular area, he would take that group and he would establish a church there. So as he traveled through the large province of Galatia, he would establish churches in all the areas he preached in. So here's where history ties into Paul's calling. His first missionary journey, if you remember, Paul took 3 major missionary journeys. On his first one, we see it recorded in Acts chapter 13. He traveled to the Gentile areas of Cyprus and Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. And then he makes that journey and he comes back to Antioch. And he had preached one message. He'd preached one message, one truth to all the Gentiles and all the areas he went to. And that one truth is this: come to the one who died on the cross and shed his own blood to forgive your sin. Come to the one who rose from the grave after his death on the cross. 3 days later, he rose from the grave so that not only will you have forgiveness of your sins through the blood of Jesus, but you will have eternal life through the resurrection of Jesus. That was his message to the Gentiles. And he preached it over and over again for more than a decade. And many Gentiles believed that gospel message throughout the Roman Empire. But when Paul finished that course of preaching, he was challenged by a group of men. This group of men said, "You're going out to the Gentiles and you're failing to preach the truth. You are not preaching the entire truth of God's Word." And so they accused Paul of misleading as a teacher of lies, that he was bringing Gentiles to a false gospel, that he wasn't preaching the entire truth. This group who followed Paul around were called Judaizers. And this is what they believed. This is what they taught. The Judaizers said, when you're a Jew and you live under the Old Testament law, and as males, you become properly circumcised as a follower of God Almighty, it is then and only then, once you have lived under the law, once you have lived under the rules of what we know as the Old Testament, and once you have gone through the physical characteristics of following God, then and only then can you come to Jesus as Lord and Savior. However, when you're a Gentile, if you're a non-Jew, if you want to come to Jesus, the first thing you need to do is become a Jew. And you need to bear, men, the physical sign of circumcision that you follow God. You need to live under all the rules and all the laws of the Old Testament. Then, and only then, can you come to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So, Paul, you have left out a major area of coming to Jesus. You have to be a Jew. You have to live under the law first before you can come to the Savior. And they accused Paul then of not teaching the entire truth of coming to Christ. So the Judaizers were pointing to Paul, saying he's a false preacher. For over a decade, he has led more Gentiles to untruth than to truth. He's wrong. You first come to God as a converted Jew, then you can come to Jesus as Savior because Jesus was a Jew. So these Judaizers had followed Paul on his mission trip and had accused him of lying to those to whom he preached. He was misleading Gentiles to a false salvation. Now that's where Galatians 2 picks up. Everybody with me? Everybody's awake? We move on. According to Galatians chapter 2, verse 1, 14 years after Paul's first visit to Jerusalem as a saved man, he came back to the city of Jerusalem. And he seeks a meeting with three godly men who are considered pillars of the Christian church in the city of Jerusalem. All three of these men, along with Paul, had a Jewish background. The disciple Peter, the disciple John, and also James. Now, this is not James, the brother of John. This is James, the half-brother of Jesus Christ. We know that to be true because the brother James, the brother of John, had already died as a martyr by this time. He was no longer on earth. So this is James, the half-brother of Jesus, the one they shared the same mother. So Paul meets with these three great pillars of the church. The same meeting is also recorded in Acts chapter 15, if you want to double-check this. It's called the Jerusalem Conference. Paul meets with these three men, but he also brings two companions with him. He brings with him Barnabas, his brother in ministry, the encourager, and he also brings a young man whose name is Titus. Of course, if you read your Bible through, you know that Titus is referred to in a book of the Bible by his name because he became a pastor of a church. But he brings Titus, who is a Gentile young man. And this Gentile young man named Titus had come to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I want you to look at the second verse of Galatians 2. "And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain." Here's the gist of this historical conversation. Now listen, this is history, but it's going to tie into you and me. So hear what this word is saying. Paul says that his Jewish Christian brothers, Peter, John, and James, he says, "I've been commissioned to go to the Gentiles with the gospel." Now, brother Peter, he says, "God has commissioned you to be the missionary to the Jewish family." And these three men, Peter, James, and John, resided amongst the Jews. But Paul was sent out to the Gentile population. But here's the $10,000 question that Paul is asking here. Peter, James, John, am I preaching the same message that you're preaching? Are we leading everyone around the world, Jew and Gentile alike, to Jesus in the same way? Are we preaching the same thing? Or have I been running my race in vain? That's what he says. Have I been doing something wrong? Have I been preaching the wrong gospel? Are we preaching the same thing together? And Paul continues by saying, these Judaizers are following my preaching. Look at verse 4. And that because of false brethren, that's the Judaizers, false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. So the Judaizers are accusing Paul. They're accusing him of preaching the grace of Jesus Christ without the bondage of living under the law, without the bondage of becoming a Jew first. Paul is simply preaching, come to Christ because of His blood shed on the cross and because of His resurrection, you can come to Him. And the Judaizers said, you're wrong, Paul. Come to God through the Jewish faith first, then you may come to Christ. So Paul is asking a question of these three great leaders of the church in Jerusalem. Am I correct in preaching the grace of Jesus? Am I right in preaching the sheer grace of Jesus Christ alone, and that's enough to save anyone? Have I been preaching the wrong message? Is my preaching different from yours, Peter, James, John? You have to understand, this is a huge moment in the history of the church. This is so vastly important in this moment when the great missionary Paul is asking the question of three great men, are we preaching the same message? Are we all leading people to Jesus in the right way? And then Paul points to a key witness. He says, I want you to look at Titus here. He had brought this young man with him, remember, Barnabas and Titus with him. He said, I want you to consider Titus. He's a young man. And under my preaching, this young man has fully come to Jesus as his Lord and his Savior. He is a Gentile. He has never been a Jew. He is not intending to become a Jew. He's never read the Old Testament law. In fact, he does not bear the sign of circumcision. That's a little bit too much information, isn't it? But he says he doesn't bear that sign that Jewish men bear. But his heart belongs to Jesus. I was there when he gave his soul to Jesus Christ as his Lord and his Savior. So is Titus truly saved or not? Does he need to become a Jew first before he can come to Christ? Did I mislead Titus? Did I lie to him? You see, this is a crucial, pivotal point in the gospel and how the gospel is preached to the world. Every invitation that we give to Jesus Christ in this sanctuary and every invitation that is given to Jesus Christ around the world today ties right back to this passage. Are we all preaching the same gospel? Are we all inviting the world to Jesus in the same way? It springs from this passage. See how important it is. And here's the answer. Look at Galatians 2, verse 9. After these three great men of Jewish background and who are leading mostly Jews in the church of Jesus Christ in Jerusalem, here's what happens. Look at verse 9. And when James, Cephas, of course you know that's Peter, when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen and they unto the circumcision. So in other words, these three great leaders of the church in Jerusalem stand up and extend their hand to Paul and to Barnabas saying, you're preaching it right, fellas. You're giving the gospel. You're giving the invitation. You're extending Jesus to the world in exactly the same way we do. It is by grace that everyone is saved. We're all sinners. We're all lost. And the only way we can come to a holy God is just what Jesus said. He is the way and the truth and the life, and no man will come to the Father but by Him. You're preaching it exactly right, Paul. There's a big sigh of relief, I'm sure, in Paul. After this decade, 14 years of preaching, and they say, keep preaching the same message. But they do add one caveat. Look at the 10th verse, the last verse that we read today. They say, don't forget this. Verse 10 of Galatians 2, only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. So they said, you preach the gospel, you invite people to Jesus, but don't forget the poor. Don't forget that not only do you meet spiritual needs, but also when you reach those who are hungry and those without clothing, make sure that you take care of them physically. And Paul said, I was always forward to do that, meaning I took care of that as I traveled in my travels. Well, the men say, don't forget that, Paul, but here's the huge point of agreement. These great men, Peter, James, John, Paul, Barnabas, agree on this. To be saved, not one person needs a particular religious background. To be saved, you do not need to be a certain color or from a certain nation. To be saved in Christ, you don't need a particular social standing. Any person should be invited to put their trust and their heart and their life in the hands of Jesus Christ by faith alone. That's how we are saved, by His grace and our faith, placing it in Jesus as Savior. Anyone can be saved. Why do we support missions? Why do we support Diamanta Bryant, who this Tuesday will go to her lifelong career in missions on the other side of the world? Why do we support them? Because every person needs Jesus. Every soul needs Christ. And everyone is invited in exactly the same way to a Savior who went to the cross and rose from the grave that you and I might be saved and have eternal life. That's the simplicity of the gospel, and every person on earth should hear it. All He asks of you and me today is to kneel before Him and say, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. Again, don't forget that old word that needs to be repeated over and over and over again, and that word is repentance. And repentance means I am sorry for what I've done against you, Lord, and I want to turn away from that, and I want to turn to you and ask you to be my Savior. A repentant heart. You're sorry for what the past was like, but hopeful for what the future will be in Christ. I repent of my sin, Lord. I turn from that light, and I ask you to forgive me, and I ask you to lead me, and I ask you to set the footsteps before me. I believe who you are, Jesus. I believe what you did, Lord. And I put all of my life and all of my trust and all of my heart and all of my possessions and all of my future in you and you alone. Now, maybe there's someone in this sanctuary today, maybe there's someone who will hear this sermon on media sometime in the future, and that person is you. You've never knelt before the foot of the cross. You've never come to the feet of Jesus Christ and said, Lord, I am a sinner, and Lord, I know my sin is going to take me to hell, but I believe that you love me, I believe you died for me, I believe you rose for me, and I believe that I need you, and I'm bowing before you as my Savior. Maybe there's one person here today who needs to bow before that Savior and say, I need you. If that's you today, I can promise you on the very Word of God that He's waiting for you right now to make that decision. He's with you step by step. He is with you when you fall asleep. He is with you when you wake up. But He's waiting for you to recognize Him as your Savior. If you need Him today, you can meet Him right in this place and profess Him as your Savior, your Lord. He publicly died on a cross, and I believe that we publicly need to accept Him as Savior. He's waiting on you today. If you need Him, you come. Believers, that's the message that Paul preached. That's the message that Peter preached. And it's the message 2,000 years that we continue to preach and teach and live, that Jesus saves. By grace alone, through our faith, He saves. Aren't we thankful, believers, for that message? It is the message of our heart. It's the message of our life. And it's the most important message that we can carry into this world today and tomorrow and every day that God gives us breath. I am so thankful to know that Carl Allen is home today, but I also know that he spoke about Jesus about every step that he took somewhere. I pray that you and I will speak about Jesus before we go home, before the Lord calls us to that heavenly place, that we will serve Him and live for Him every day. We're thankful for the message, but I pray that we're committed to carry the message, however He calls you and me to do that through our talents, into this world, beginning this afternoon. Commit your life to that, believer. You know, there are millions of unsaved people in this world today, and you know a few of them. We don't know all the millions, but we know a few in our own personal walk and life. I pray for you and for me that Jesus will speak to us and invite them in. As we go our separate ways, carry Him to this world. And if you need Him today, He's waiting for you. Church home, need whatever it is, He meets us here. Let's pray together. Our Father, our God, thank You for these moments. Lord, I thank You for the clarity that You gave to me about these words that when I first read them, I thought, what in the world am I going to do with these? But how clear they became. Paul just wanted to know that all of us are preaching the same message, that it is by grace alone that we can be saved. Jesus went to the cross and bled and died in our place. As it tells us in Colossians, He literally nailed our sin to the cross through His own hands and feet being placed there with spikes. But thank You that You rose from the grave, not just to forgive our sin, but promises eternal life. Every one of us, Lord, and everyone in this world needs that simple message. I pray that every one of us, whether we're leaving the country on Tuesday or we're just going back out into the world we live in day by day, that we will carry that message to a lost world. Bless us, we pray. Bless this church to stand for You in a world that needs You. We love You. We want to commit our lives to You in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Clifford Baptist Church invites you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. For more information about our church, please call our church office at 434-946-0555.